Well, congratulations. You made it. You set your alarm clocks, changed them, and you got up, and you made it to church. And we are super glad that you are here. I want to welcome you. My name is George. I'm the pastor here, and we're super glad that you have chosen to come and spend a portion of your weekend with us. If this is your first time with us, we are especially glad that you are here. We are in a message series that I began last week that's called Dangerous Prayers. Dangerous Prayers. Now, this is based on a book by Greg Rochelle, actually serves as the kind of the catalyst for this. I was actually going to be preaching a series on prayer, and then this crossed one of my feeds. It's Greg Rochelle's newest book, Dangerous Prayers, and I got the book. I couldn't put it down, and I thought, wow, this would be a great springboard for us to use in this message series. And so one of the things I shared with you is that we bought several copies of this, and there's one copy left. It's out on the table at the information table in the lobby. We're just selling them for $15. In this book, Craig covers three dangerous prayers, but we're actually going to be covering six. There's an extra one that is not on that slide up there that we're going to look at over the next several weeks. And again, you might be thinking this idea, dangerous prayers. Well, what in the world is so dangerous about prayer? Well, let me tell you, it's going to be dangerous because I'm going to encourage you to do something in the midst of this series. I want this series to serve as a springboard for you to maybe, just maybe, pray like you've never prayed before. That maybe, just maybe, you will learn to pray for the miraculous, for the power, for the blessings of what God might want to do in your life. Maybe bigger prayers, more faithful prayers than you've ever prayed before. Now, maybe it's time for us to move past some of the prayers like good meat, good bread, good God, let's eat kind of things, right? Or, you know, just those, we thank God for this thing or that thing. And those are all good. And we ask God to help us as we take a test or as we have a big project or work or something like that. And those are good things. And I'm not discouraging those in any way. But in this series, what I want to encourage you to do is to pray really big. Because you see, it seems to me that one of the greatest blessings that we can do for our prayer life is to pray prayers that Craig Rochelle calls dangerous prayers. Prayers like, speak to me, God. Like literally, that we are praying and asking God to speak to us. We're going to talk about that one today. Or prayers like, search me, O God. David prayed that in the Psalms. What would it be like if we asked God, we seriously asked God in prayer, if there was anything offensive in our lives and asked him to show us our sin, to lead us in the right paths, to reveal to us anything that God might consider offensive. What might that look like? Or if we would pray, God, break me. Help me to see how absolutely dependent I am on you. Help me to see things the way you see them. Just break me, God. Or what if we prayed a prayer that said, God, make me bold. Like, God, speak through me. Use me to lead others to you. Help me to be strong in my faith and to not waver. Or what if we prayed a prayer that said, hey, God, send me. I don't know when and I don't know where, but I'm available to you. Would you just send me, and I'm available to be used by you wherever and whenever. God, I am on call for you. Now, last week, I encouraged us to just pray, to be more intentional about our prayer life, to just take time to pray. I encouraged you last week to pray with gut-level honesty because God can handle it. That it is okay for us to literally cry out to God with total honesty what we're feeling, what we're thinking, what we're experiencing. That we don't need to hold back because God is big enough to handle all of it. So what would our prayer look like if we just prayed with gut-level honesty, not holding back? praying about everything that matters to us. Again, it might be a test, it might be a job interview, it might be a problem that we're experiencing at work, in our home life, with our children, with our aging parents. It might be anything, but we can go to God and literally pray and ask God's help in every arena or every area of life. And we should do that. So to pray with gut-level honesty, to pray about everything that matters to us, to pray continuously, with continuous honesty, by just being in what 1 Thessalonians says, pray without ceasing. We're driving down the road and we're praying. We're going into a meeting and we're praying. We're talking to somebody and we're praying. Just praying without ceasing. Just praying about everything. God, I could use a little help right here. God, help me know what to say to this person. God, help me know what direction to go to. That our God just wants to be intimately involved in our lives. And so what we do when we do that, when we cultivate this sense of just praying continuously, what we do is we just literally ramp up slowly our prayer life, where we discover that we're just praying all the time. Something comes before us, and we're like, man, I'm just going to pray about that. And what we end up doing is not saying to somebody, hey, Gary, I'll pray for you, and then never pray. We've all done that, haven't we, right? Right? Like, hey, I'll be praying for you. How many times do you sign emails? Hey, praying for you. What if we were really held accountable to that? How many of us would be like, oh, I didn't pray for that one. Didn't pray for that thing. So we got to figure out how to do that. So we just pray continually. And then to listen. To take time to listen for what God's response might be. And so today we're going to look at the first of our dangerous prayers. And it's just simply this. Speak to me, God. Literally, that's what I'm going to encourage you to do. By the time we get done with our service today, I'm going to give you a little homework, and that's what I'm going to encourage you to do, is to just begin praying this week, and your prayer is just going to be, God, speak to me. And I'm going to tell you how to position yourself so that you might actually hear from God. So today we're going to be talking about asking God to speak to us. Now, we're going to do that by looking at the prayer of a little boy, probably somewhere around fifth or sixth grade-ish comparison, 11, 12-year-old, in the Old Testament. And his name is Samuel. And we find his story in 1 and 2 Samuel, two books from the Old Testament. And we find his story really specifically that we're going to talk about today in chapter 3. Now, let me give you the context here. Samuel was, as I said, was a little boy, probably somewhere around 11 or 12 years old. He lived and assisted Eli, who was a priest, in the tabernacle. 1 Samuel tells us that Eli, the priest, and his sons, they were not honoring God with their lives. As a matter of fact, in 1 Samuel 2:1, it says, now the sons of Eli were scoundrels. Wouldn't you love for your name to go down forever and ever in history as being a scoundrel? They were scoundrels who had no respect for the Lord or for their duties as priests. And then a little bit while later, in chapter 2, verse 22, it says, now Eli was very old, but he was aware of what his sons were doing to the people of Israel. He knew, for instance, that his sons were seducing the young women who assisted at the entrance of the tabernacle. Like, isn't that crazy? Like, you can read this stuff in the Bible. People say, oh, the Bible is boring. Seriously, like, go to the Old Testament. That you can read about real life situations that you're like, man, this is real stuff that they were dealing with. And so we see these guys who are supposed to be the models. They were supposed to be show everybody what it means to be a faithful follower of God. And yet the priest and his sons were messing all that up. In other words, Eli's sons, they were out of control. Eli and his sons, they were sinning. He hadn't turned his heart back to God. He had fallen away. He hadn't disciplined his sons. He hadn't led well, and he was sinning against God. So now we pick up Samuel's story and find his dangerous prayer in 1 Samuel chapter 3, and you can follow along. It's going to be up on the screen. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel served the Lord by assisting Eli. Now, in those days, messages from the Lord were very rare, and visions were quite uncommon. One night, Eli, who was almost blind by now, had gone to bed. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle near the ark of God. Suddenly, the Lord God called out, Samuel! Yes? Samuel replied, "What is it?" He got up and ran to Eli. "Here I am. Did you call me?" "I didn't call you," Eli replied. "Go back to bed." So he did. Then the Lord called out again, "Samuel." Again, Samuel got up. He went to Eli. "Here I am. Did you call me?" "I didn't call you, my son," Eli said. "Go back to bed." Samuel did not yet know the Lord because he had never had a message from the Lord before. So the Lord called a third time. Aren't you grateful that our God is relentless and tenacious? Third time. And once more, Samuel got up, went to Eli. "Here I am. Did you call me?" Then Eli realized it was the Lord who was calling the boy. So he said to Samuel, "Go and lie down again. And if someone calls again, say, 'Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went back to bed, and the Lord came and called as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And so Samuel said, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." That is incredibly cool, right? That God spoke to Samuel in that moment. But what God said to him, it was not an easy message. It wasn't something pleasant, actually, for him to hear. Because what God ends up saying to Samuel, this little boy, is that Eli has been sinning against me. What he's doing is not right. He hasn't turned the heart of his people back toward me. Therefore, I'm going to judge his household. I'm going to judge this nation. I trust you, a little boy, to carry out this message, God says, so I can make all things right. A difficult answer for a little boy's prayer, wouldn't you say? Samuel had to give a message to Eli that was really difficult to hear. It was a message that the people probably didn't want to hear. Now, we're going to talk about the messages that God gives us when we ask him to speak, but I kind of want to set a little bit more foundation this morning before we do that. What I want to talk about before we do that is I want to talk a little bit about how do we actually learn to hear the voice of God, because I believe that we can actually learn to hear the voice of God. Because here is our certainty. Our God is a speaking God. Our God is a speaking God. He talks to us. And we're going to talk about the many ways that he does that. But in John 10:27, it says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." Over and over again, we find in the scriptures, we find places where God says, "And they listened." Or, "For you with ears to hear, listen to me." So over and over that we get throughout scripture is God has messages for us. God has something that he wants to say to us, his people. And so he says, hey, listen up. Listen up. I got some words for you. So we've got to learn how to hear the voice of God. Now, for many of us, we're like, but I've never heard God go, "Samuel," and put your name in there, right? Most of us have probably never, ever heard that. But scripture paints a picture for us, as I shared with you last week, that God speaks to us in a lot of different ways. And I just want to mention a few of them, and I've added a few to what I gave you last week. I think God speaks in probably the most basic and profound and universal way through his word, through the Bible, where he directs and guides and corrects us. J.I. Packer, in his book called Knowing God, he writes this about God's word. He says, "God has spoken to man, and the Bible is his word given to us to make us wise unto salvation." And so God speaks to us through his word. We want to know what we should do or shouldn't do. We want to know how we should live or how we shouldn't live. We want to know what God says is good or what God says is bad, what God says to do this and what God says not to do that. We just go to his word. So it is the basic for us. It's the foundation for us, which everything is built upon. So we have to be a people who read his word. How do we hear the voice of God if we don't read his word? So that's, I think, the primary way that God speaks to us. God always also speaks to us through his Holy Spirit. That some would label that our conscience, but I believe that's God talking to us, you know? And again, when I spend a lot of time on this, because we talked about this before, but it's that idea where we're doing something that we know we shouldn't be doing, and inside we hear that voice going, no, 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 no. Or we're doing what we should be doing, and we sense in God going, yes, yes, keep at that, keep at that. That's good, that's good. Because I believe that God is always talking to us. And I believe that God speaks to us in that still, small voice. I believe that God speaks to us through his people, through his church, through wise and godly people, that God speaks a word to us. God speaks to us through miracles. We see that God is still in the miracle-working business, that God still performs miracles because people pray. We see God speaking through his peace, through that sense of, well, you just know it's going to be okay. Where you just have this calm, this lack of angst in your life, and you just get this peace that God just helps you to be okay in the moment. We see God speaking through our circumstances, through opportunities, through open and closed doors. God speaks to us by saying, hey, I want you to go this way. And by the way, I'm going to like clear the path. I'm going to open the door. I'm going to swing it wide. I'm going to be out here going, hey, right here, right here, right here. So he helps us by opening doors and closing doors, by circumstances in our lives. We also, as we have talked here at great length about over the years, is that God speaks through our dreams. It was a very common thing that we see in the scriptures in the ancient church, and it's something that's happening today. There are people all over the Middle Eastern world, actually, who are coming to faith in God through their dreams. It is documented that God is speaking to people through their dreams. Well, I think God speaks to us through our dreams as well. Have you had those dreams where you just like, you dream about something, you go, man, I got to do something, you get up and you just do it and you're blessed because of it? God speaks to us through his dreams. So let's spend just a few moments talking about, okay, so now how do we learn this? How do we actually learn to hear the voice of God? How do we learn to hear the voice of God? I think number one, first and foremost, is we got to be still. We got to just be still. And quite frankly, I think this is probably one of the greatest obstacles for us hearing the voice of God today in our world. We move like this. We are bombarded constantly by voices and by noise and by things. And it's just always going like this, right? I mean, I'm both old enough and young enough that when the ER came out, like, you remember when ER came out and it was like boom, 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 with like all these different scenarios. And at first, people who study this thing were like, oh, they're never going to be able to pay attention to that. But what it ended up doing was changing our attention span. So we figured out we could actually do that. And then do you remember when it wasn't that long ago that the news started like you could hear a story, you could read a story, then there was a line across the bottom too. Well, we learned how to pay attention to that, right? But I think what we got to do is we got to figure out just like how to be still and to be like, now I'm shutting out all the noise, all the movement, all the stuff in my life so that I can actually hear the voice of God. See, the Bible doesn't say be busy and know that I'm God. The Bible says in Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. Okay, true confession time. How many of you find it really difficult to be still? Raise your hand. You got to learn it, don't you? Every teacher in this room would teach us that we learn how to be still, right? That just be still, be quiet. Now, it's interesting when we look at this verse, be still and know that I am God. In the Hebrew, this is not a passive thing. This is actually, it's an active thing. That the Hebrew word for still actually means cease and desist. It means stop what you have been doing and be still. Well, we can't do that passively, can we? We have to actively be like, stop. Stop. Turn the brain off. Stop thinking about all the stuff that you got to do. Turn the noise off. You know, it's the epitome of the Calgon, take me away. Right? Is that you all had visions of that, didn't you? You're like, oh, the day I can just be like in the bathtub and no noise and just take me away. But just to be still, be quiet, cease and desist, stop what you've been doing, and just be still. See, I believe that the average Christian's lifestyle today is so busy that it isn't conducive to hearing God's voice. I believe that with all, I think the average life for every single one of us in here, do you ever find yourself, especially those of you with kids, like, okay, when stuff slows down, okay, those of you who don't have kids in your house anymore, does it ever slow down? No, it just changes, right? It goes from one thing to another. It just doesn't unless you are intentional about it. And I think this idea of being still for us is super, super hard. That we've got to figure out how to be still. So I'm going to ask you, when was the last time that you spent an extended period of time just being still? Being quiet. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to encourage you to close your eyes. Get your body in a position that you don't have to be like moving around and squiggling around like crazy. And what I want to encourage you is just close your eyes. And we're just going to be still for 1 minute. And I'll tell you when you're done. So don't be looking at your watch and don't be thinking about when we're done. Let's be still for a minute. Okay, you can open your eyes. How many of you find your breathing slowed down? You're in a calmer place? And you're just like, wow. And some of you were like, man, that was horrible. See, there's just something about slowing down where we get attentive and we can just be still to relax. To position ourselves in a way to actually hear from God, where you're just not bombarded. So I think we learn how to hear the voice of God, however he wants to speak to us, by number one, being still, stopping, ceasing, and desisting. Number two, be willing. Be willing. Now, that might sound a little odd to you, but I want to ask you, are you really willing to hear what God has to say to you? I mean, like, are you really willing to listen to what God wants to say to you, to really seek the heart and will of God, and then to actually do what he tells you to do? Like, I know that a lot of us would be going, well, yeah. No, I'm like really serious. Like, are you really willing to do whatever God tells you to do, to change, to stop, to start, to redirect? Are you willing? See, Proverbs 3:6 says, seek his will in all you do. Notice it doesn't say in some of what you do. It says, seek his will in all you do, and he will show you the path to take. That's a promise that we have from God's word. That we gotta seek his will first. Again, the problem is most of us, we're so stinking busy that we won't stop and listen. Most of us are so inattentive that we won't read to try to discover what God's will is for our lives, that we just won't stop. But if we seek his will, if we're really willing Again, I want to get deep on this one with you. Like, what if God said to you, I want you to stop doing whatever? Or you are in a relationship that's really bad for you where it is causing you to sin, and I want you to stop it now. Or what if God says, you've not given a penny, it's time for you to start tithing? Or what if you've had this nagging feeling inside of you that, like, you're supposed to go serve on a mission trip and you haven't gone yet? And you would say, okay. Like three of our high school students who are giving up their spring break to go to Guatemala. Or what if God was like, hey, I want you to talk to this person over here. Would you do it? About your faith? Like, are you really willing to both listen and do what God says to do, right? Greg Rochelle says in his book, be willing to do what God has put on your heart. Now, it seems if we're not really hearing from God, maybe it's because before God has told you to do something and you haven't done it yet, and God's sitting back going, I'm going to wait until you do that to answer that. See, we got to be attentive and we got to be willing to what God wants us to do. We got to be willing to listen. Like, again, I have kid analogies because I have two. And how many times when, if you even remotely have kids in your life and you're talking to them and their eyes are going like this and they're looking down at something and you're just like, you are not listening to me. And you could literally stop talking, right? And then a few minutes later, they're like, what? You didn't hear a word I said, did you? But we got to be willing. We got to be willing to listen. See, because the Bible, another promise, look what it says in Hebrews 4:16. Let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. Well, when's the last time you willingly came bold? Not squeamish, but literally stepped into the presence of God and talked and listened to what God might have to say for you. So how do we listen to the voice of God? We be still. We be willing. And number three, we be ready. We just be ready to go or do or stop or change. Craig says in his book, don't ask him to speak if you don't want to hear what he has to say. Wow. Okay, I don't want to see your hands, but wouldn't we all say, okay, that's kind of sort of like me? Because we know in our heart or in our head that the Spirit has been saying and fill in the blank, and we're like, okay. But we got to be ready. He says a little bit later in his book, do by faith what God calls you to do. That's how we experience the blessing of God, is that we actually do what he calls us to do. It's where God opens doors for us, opens opportunities for us. Again, a promise that we see from Psalm 32:8, the Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. But there's a dependent, right? There's a dependence in there. How will he do that? By guiding us and us listening, right? If it says, I will guide you along the best pathway, how do we know God's best pathway for us if we don't listen to him? Simple. It's not going to be his desire for us. It's going to be ours. But what would your life be like if you said, okay, God, I'm going to listen to you. What you say to do, I'm going to do. I'm just going to follow you. Again, I think it's something that we learn. Because, like, I am the ADD prayer. Like, I seriously, this is tough for me. And it's something I've learned over the years that when I pray, I'm like, I really have to, like, the serious, intense praying. Now, again, I'm trying to cultivate this continual presence of God. But there's also the times where I need to just have some more serious prayer time where literally I'm, like, pushing every distraction. It's why, like, when I went to the library, I love those cubicles that you sat in that had the walls up here. Because, man, if there's a squirrel in the room, I'd see it. Right? If there was something going, if there's a fly in like the other side, I'd be like, oh, get that thing out of here. Is that I got to like get every distraction out. Do you? And maybe that's what we need to do, is to just be still, be willing, and be ready so we can actually learn to hear the voice of God. Now, I will caution you. I will caution you because when God speaks, now, the first one's good. He may just comfort you. God's just going to be like, I'm here. I'm with you. I'm going to comfort you. Just, my presence is right here. I'm enfolding you. And just know that I am with you. See, when we're quiet and we don't have any distractions and we're just basking there and we slow down and we hear our breathing and we feel ourselves get less anxious, I think we actually hear the voice of God say, I gotcha. I just gotcha. And he just may bring a comforting word for you. And you might literally hear him say, I gotcha. I got this. He might not calm the storm, but he might carry us through the storm or calm us in the midst of the storm. But we experience that as we come into his presence. Now, that's a good one, right? Yeah, when God speaks, we may experience his comfort. He may speak his comfort for us. But when God speaks, he may convict us. We don't like that one, right? Nobody likes being told, hey, that thing that you're doing, I know. I see it. Like, you heard the text, right? God knew what Eli and his sons were doing, right? God's like, I see it. Here's the deal. And if you didn't know this, let's be really clear. Everything we do, everything we think about, God sees and knows. Everything. So those of us who think, I can hide this from God, sorry. He sees it and he knows it. So he may bring a word of conviction for us. We may hear God literally saying to us, stop it. That is not good for you. That is not my best for you. He may convict us of something that we're just not doing right. When God speaks, he may challenge you. Like, he may challenge you to do things that you never even dreamed. Now, let's take a quick look at biblical history. What did God call Noah to do? Build a stinking boat in the middle of the desert. Like, can you imagine what it was like for him? You think he was made fun of a little bit? Dude, have you seen Noah? He's building a boat. It's in the middle of the desert. But God said to Noah, build a boat because my judgment's coming. Well, what about Jonah? Right? Where God says to Jonah, hey, Jonah, you're going to be my guy. I'm going to send you to like the most pagan, corrupt area on the face of the planet. And what you need to do is to go tell them, my judgment's come before you and I'm going to destroy you in 40 days. Jonah did what we would do. See ya. Right? He ran the opposite direction and God's like, no. God sent a big fish to swallow him. Yeah, I believe that's true, actually. Sent a big fish to swallow him. Where Jonah has his come to Jesus moment. Took him 3 days in the belly of a fish. You think he stunk a little? And then ultimately, like the fish pukes him up on the shore. After Jonah goes, fine, I'll go. And he goes. Or what about Mary? This sweet little virgin girl. Where an angel comes and speaks to Mary and says, you're going to have a kid. This is a George Modern paraphrase. You're going to have a kid. You're not married yet, and he's going to be the savior of the world. And what was her response? Whatever you want to do, you can do it to me. I mean, over and over again, Paul, the Apostle Paul, who was responsible for writing 2/3 of the New Testament, he had something wrong with him. And the Bible tells us over and over he prayed and said, God, would you just take that away? We don't know what it was. We don't know if he had a handicap, a physical thing. We don't even know what it is. But what we do know is he prayed and prayed and said, God, would you take that away? And God's like, nope. But God said, but I will give you the ability to endure it. And he did. See, God might call us to do something challenging. Abraham in the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 12, where God says to Abraham, okay, I want you to just move. Like, get your family, get your stuff. I want you to move away from this territory where you have family, you have finances, you have security, you have everything you could possibly want. And I'm going to send you off to this place where your descendants are going to be as numerous as the sands of the seashore. You're going to be a great name. But by the way, I'm not going to tell you where you're going, and I'm not going to tell you when you get, I'll tell you when you get there. Or Moses, the dude with a stuttering problem, the dude who killed somebody. Hey, you're going to lead the people out of captivity into the promised land. And Moses is like, seriously, do you want to get somebody else? But he finally relented, right? And look what, I mean, a movie was made of him that we've all seen. Charlton Heston became famous because of this movie, right? I mean, so God might challenge you to do something. But with each one of those people that we read throughout Scripture, even the most challenging things, after the event, they all recognize the extreme blessing that came from God because of it. And I believe that we are on the edge of blessings from God that we don't even know about until we cross over and do what God said to do. So we got to be still, we got to be willing, and we got to be ready, right? We got to listen to him. He may speak words of comfort, he may convict us, he may challenge us, or he might call you. He might call you to do, like, to go somewhere or to say something or to do something. You might be like, wow, I wish somebody would share their faith with Susie over there. And he might go, you. Or it might be like, hey, you know, gosh, I wish somebody would, like, work on this poverty issue over here. God says, you. That God might call you to do something that busts you out of your comfort zone. Or it might be an affirming call where you're just like, that's exactly what I knew I was supposed to do. So we got to listen when God speaks. He has stuff to speak to us. So I have a question for you. Are you ready to pray this dangerous prayer? Now, some of you, I can see it in your eyes. You're like, nope. And that's okay. But I want you to get there. I want to challenge you with every fiber of my being to see what God might want to say to you if you would, with honesty and sincerity, say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. So here's your homework. Last week, what did I tell you to do? And everybody said, pray. Thank you, Gary. Just pray, right? You just pray. That's what I challenged you to do last week. Just pray. Now this week, I want to challenge you to say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. But you got to do this. You got to be still. Don't multitask. Actually, neuroscience proves that that doesn't work. We think we're really good at multitasking. It doesn't work. It really doesn't. You lose tons of content. So to say, God, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Be quiet. Be still. Be willing. And be ready. So we're going to take just a minute to do that this morning. Because maybe, just maybe, you're here right now, right here, today, because God has a word for you that he wants you to hear. So just like we spent the 60 seconds just being still, I want to invite you this morning. We're going to be still, we're going to be ready, and we're going to be willing to hear the voice of God. So get yourselves comfortable. And you will know when we're done, when you start to hear the music playing, and Isaiah is going to lead us into the next song, and you can continue to pray, or you can sing along with us, but I want you to just be still, to be willing, and to be ready to listen to the voice of God. Let's pray.